Lord, we thank you for this moment we have to be with you. The most important moments we have is when your presence is available to us. And you said you'd be with us where two or three are gathered. We're gathered here in your name, Lord. We're gathered by faith, not by fear. We're gathered by hope, not by doubt. We're gathered because you're alive, and we've known your salvation in our lives. And we have hope without a question mark. Hope of eternal life, but also hope of your care and provision while we journey in this life. Some do trust in chariots and horses, Lord. They're looking for them on the horizon. Not us. We don't look to the hills from whence come our help. We look past the hills. We look to the one who made the heavens and the earth. We look to you, God. You're still the way, the truth, and the life. You're still the healer and deliverer. You're still the Savior of all mankind. You're still our hope, Lord, in a dark world. You're the light that shines, and you desire to shine through us. We've come, Lord, to let you know that we trust in you no matter what's going on around us. We trust in you no matter though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Because you're with us, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Thou preparest a table before us in the presence of our enemies, Lord. You make our cups run over. And surely your goodness and mercy will chase us down all the days of our life. And for that, Lord, we give you praise. Let's give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You're worthy. This is still in my spirit. I want to say this before you're seated. God is not a man that he should lie. Whatever he's promised you and your family, he'll stand by. The world may fall and 10,000 may fall at your way, at your side, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's what the Lord says. Hang on to his promises. Stand with the Lord. He'll show up. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. Give him praise one more time. I want everybody to be seated just for a moment. You guys can come on down. I want to start this before I dismiss the children. I want them to hear this. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Polycarp and Ignatius, but those were two guys who were trained by the Apostle Peter and John. And I want to read you a story, just a short story about Ignatius, because I want you to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. With our young couples, we shared this week that the book of Jude tells us to contend for the faith. That's the day we're living in. We got to contend for the faith. Ignatius was one of the disciples of Peter and John, not long after Jesus had come and gone. And he was over 100 years old, some say between 107 and 110. And he was brought, and he was leading lots of people to Christ. And they brought him before the Roman emperors, and they were going to persecute him. And eventually he lost his life. I want to read you just a small account as I set the stage for this morning, but I want everybody to hear that you're in good company when you face persecution. There's a wave of persecution coming, and it's coming soon. And it's coming greater than we've ever seen it in this country. It's going to come to this country. And it's going to be against Christians. And in fact, and I know the social media platforms do politics, but what's got me upset is they're starting to censor Christians. So there's going to be some changes in this ministry with social media because they're starting to censor Christians. We got to take a stand somewhere. Can you say amen? Ignatius was brought before the emperor, who interrogated him personally. The emperor said, "Who do you think you are? You are not only ignoring our order, but you are encouraging others to do the same. You must have an evil spirit in you." That's what he told Ignatius, who was a follower of Christ, right behind the apostles. Ignatius replied, "Evil spirits have nothing to do with Christians. I have the one true God in my heart, and Jesus Christ, his Son, who is the highest Lord and King of everything. He trampled the power of the evil spirits. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has God in his heart." The ruler asked, "If Ignatius thought that the pagans carried their gods in their hearts," Ignatius replied that all who believed in Roman gods were deceived. I mean, he's telling him right to his face. But he's doing it in a good way. They were not gods, but demons. He said, "Those are the demons," telling the ruler. They were evil spirits. But wait, the emperor said, is this Jesus the one who was crucified by Pontius Pilate? And Ignatius said, yes, that's the one. And his death on the cross has destroyed sin and death. The ruler asked him a few more questions out of curiosity, but ultimately wanting to appease the pagan citizens of Antioch and make an example of Ignatius in Rome, he sentenced the bishop to death by the lions in the Colosseum. Ignatius rejoiced in his heart that in his old age he would be brought in chains to Rome like the Apostle Paul and end his life with a martyr's death. He was rejoicing about that. Ignatius was sent to Rome and accompanied by 10 soldiers. The journey probably took at least 6 months. Along the way, Christians bribed Ignatius' guards so that they could meet with him in the cities where he stopped. Everywhere he went, he encouraged Christians, and his witness added to their numbers. In the town of Smyrna, which you read about in Revelation, he met with his friend and fellow bishop, Polycarp, which is mentioned in the Scripture. He, who had also been a disciple of the Apostle John. While in Smyrna, Ignatius wrote a letter to the Christians in Rome, asking them not to try to rescue him, to interfere with his execution in any way. He must have thought that if he returned home alive, his people would have concluded that he denied faith to save his life. He said that he was going to be like the wheat, and the teeth of the lions were going to grind that wheat into the flour to make the bread of Jesus Christ. Finally, the Roman guards put Ignatius on a ship and headed to Rome. They landed at the port of Ostia and walked into Rome, and the ancient road was known as the Ostian Way. Many Christians from Rome went out to greet Ignatius, and they met him in the place where the Church of St. Paul outside the wall is now. They walked with Ignatius as far as the city gate, where he blessed them, and Ignatius was taken to Rome. He remembered how he had always wanted to see the capital of the empire. Now he was sad for all the sin and paganism there. He wept over the city. He's getting ready to go be killed, and he's weeping over their sin. He wept over the city of Rome just as Jesus had once wept over Jerusalem. He prayed that one day Rome would be converted and become a Christian city, and it did later on down the line. Ignatius was taken, how powerful are prayers, right? Ignatius was taken directly to the Colosseum, the guards shaking with the roaring cheers of 50,000 people. But the crowd became hushed as the old bishop was pushed into the arena and brought before the urban prefect. The emperor's representative gave Ignatius one more chance to renounce his faith and make a pagan sacrifice, but he refused. The lions were released, and the crowd watched as they killed and ate the holy bishop. That night, when the crowd had gone, the Colosseum was empty, a few of the Christians broke in, collected the bones of the old bishop, wrapping them in a white sheet, taking his relics to one of the Clemens' homes. You and I are in good company as we face persecution. There's a couple of things Jesus guaranteed us in the Scripture. He guaranteed us we're all going to die unless the rapture changes that. He guaranteed us we all get to go to heaven if we believe on Him. And He guaranteed every one of us we're going to be persecuted. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus, like Ignatius and Polycarp, shall suffer persecution. The Bible also tells us that everyone who suffers, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. What happened to Ignatius? He went straight to heaven. You think he'd come back down here? He wouldn't come back down here. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Let me dismiss the elementary class over. All of you in the elementary, you can go across and follow Brother Mike. So we're in good company. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're in good company with brothers and sisters who've gone on before us. And the world has gotten more and more hostile toward. I want to say something to you, but I've been saying this week. Our God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, none of them are in the heaven, rubbing their hands together, hoping we come up with a vaccine. I hope men get a vaccine. I hope they can stop this. God could wink, blow his nostrils, raise his thumb, and this disease would be gone just in a second. He's in charge. In fact, I know we listen to American reports, but this disease is running rampant all over our world. It's all over our world. Europe, England, Germany, Nigeria, South America, it's running rampant. And I just feel like God saying, I'm up here. He uses adversity to draw our attention to Him. And He just keeps saying, I'm up here. Men are running nuts, and everything we're doing ain't working. Did anybody notice that? The numbers just keep right on climbing. I don't see anybody, including myself, in Kroger anymore without a mask, but the numbers just keep right on going up. I believe God's up there saying, hey, I'm up here. It's time to talk to me. It's time to go above science. It's time to go above men's ideas. It's time to repent and talk to me. I'm not just talking to America, as we got people around the world. I'm talking to the whole world. The whole world's on fire with this disease. And it's time for somebody to start talking to God. It starts with us here as believers that we need to start praising and talking to God. And He's done a great job of watching over us. Got no problems with God. And I've said this since February. I got no problem with the president or the governor. Men can't handle this. When are we going to wake up and say, we need to talk to God? That's where we're at. That's the kind of world we live in. Why does God allow certain things to happen that men can't find solutions for? Because He's trying to draw our attention back to Him. All science should lead back to God. All medical stuff should lead back to God. All preaching should lead back to God. Every discipline in the world, if it's run correctly, politics or anything, it should always take us back to the originator of everything, and that is God Almighty. Amen. Let's give Him praise. So that's why I'm praising God every day. I'm talking to God. I praise Him for His provision. I praise Him for His protection. I don't take anything for granted. I praise Him for my food. I praise Him for my shoes. I praise Him for my vehicle. I praise Him for everything because I know the buck stops with Him. I know everything starts with Him. I know that in Him I live and move and have my being. And without Him I can't do anything. And apart from Him I am nothing. But through Christ Jesus I can do all things with Him who strengthens me. Hallelujah. We are people of faith. I'm going to tell you about some guys. There's carpenters in the Bible. There's prophets in the Bible. There's priests in the Bible. There's doctors in the Bible. There's rich people in the Bible. The ones that trusted in Jesus, what set them apart was not their vocations, not the thing, but the faith they had. The faith that the doctor was known for his faith. Amen. The prophet was known for his faith. The preacher was known for his faith. The widow woman was known for her faith. The other guys were known for their faith. Jonah was known for his faith. Noah was known for his faith. Abraham was known for his faith. That's what should set us above. Known for our faith. No matter what our vocations are, that's what should set us above. Now let me take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But you know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Dangerous times, troubled times, hard times. The last days is a phrase from the time we're living in now. You know that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. If you can't see Eros, our whole world's full of Eros, right? We use this a lot. Love with a hook, Eros. Love with a motive. In other words, when Stickman loves with a hook, he's got a self-centered motive involved. But the Lord's called us to love the way He loves with agape, that you're loving and doing for someone else's sake. The Bible says, teaches us to care more about the things of others than our own stuff. I thought one person would amen there. How much stuff y'all got? The Bible teaches us to care more about the things of others than our own stuff. But you and I know how that works, don't we? The more you give, the more God bless. That's how it works. He takes care of us on the back end. That's why it's okay. You don't have to live in fear with your money. You don't have to live in fear with anything because Jesus Christ has a perfect way for us to operate in. And so we can care more about the things of others than we care in our own things. And I've seen you all respond to that. I've seen you respond to that. And that's how we try to treat Stephen over in Africa. And you got to keep praying for them. Boy, they are under the gun, literally. The guns, the machetes, everything. And then still trying to get food and things like that. So there's a lot going on over there with our brother. They're boasters, proud, blasphemers. He said, this is what's happening in the last day. They'll be lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You can see all this stuff plainly in our culture. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. Boy, that is the political season. That's all it is anymore, slander, isn't it? Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's true. Here it is. having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about folks inside church houses saying, yeah, we trust God, but, or we love God, but. He says, get away from those kind of people. Get away from them. They have a form of godliness. They've developed their own sense of religion, and they deny the power of God. That's what we cannot do as believers in these last days. We cannot deny the power of God. And we've seen it. We've been watching him with all these people coming to Christ with healings. The Lord's starting to move in the natural now. We've had several people healed, and he's blessing. He's showing up. He told us in February that illness was coming, but he'd be working in the midst of it. He has proven himself. We cannot be blind to the fact the way God has treated us in this ministry personally, how good he's been to us. And so God wants us to be people of faith. He wants your faith to be the thing that stands out about you more than anything going in your life. And if you'll go back and do some Bible study, you'll find out guys were good at certain things. They had different vocations, but the thing the Bible praised them for or lifted them up for was because they became men and women of faith. They trusted God, and they didn't just lean on what they see. The Bible says don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Let's go. Why? I want to tell you why I'm stubborn about my faith this morning. That's what I want to show you. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. These are perilous times. We don't want to be those people who are living in a situation where they have a form of godliness but denies power. In 1 John, I want you to go to chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want to show you something here that he teaches us. And this is pretty powerful right here. And I don't want you to skip over this because faith is, without faith, I preached last week, it's impossible to please God, right? Without it, it's impossible to please God. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11, right? In 1 John chapter 4, I want you to look, excuse me, chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, that means he's, when you say he's the Christ, you're saying there's none other. See, he said, you're not equating him. There's a movement in our world, it's been going on for 40 years probably, that's trying to equate all the gods together. Like, you bring your God, I'll bring my God, and we'll all come together, and then we'll pray to some other supreme God that's over all of our gods. There's only one God. And that's why he's saying it the way he said it. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, not a Christ, but the Christ, is born of God. So there's no equal to him, right? All the other gods are false. They're straight from the pit of hell. He says, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? Keep his commandments. That's how you can, if somebody says, how do I know if I'm saved? Right there. They keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we will keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. There's a good word. And this, listen to what he says. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's what people get decorated for in heaven. They get decorated for all kinds of things down here. You know, if you're good at something, they'll decorate you for whatever. But in heaven, people get decorated. They get medals of honor, if I can say it that way, quote unquote, for their faith. That's why you may have somebody that don't have hardly anything in this life materially, but they have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. They may live their whole life in poverty, and when we get to heaven, they may be in charge of us because they love God supremely. In fact, Jesus gives us an example of that, right? Said all the rich people put in out of their abundance, but here come a widow woman, put in all she had, right? And he said she put in more, even though she didn't put in more monetarily, but it was all she had. She was a faither, right? She trusted God, and she put all she had in that. And so he says, this is our victory. Everybody say, this is the victory. And this is the word we use that we know we translated many times here. It's the word Nike, or Nikeo is the verb form of Nike, and it means to to victory or to gain the victory, right? So here's how you and I have victory: with our faith. Without faith in Hebrews 11, it's impossible to please God, right? So if we don't have faith, we're not pleasing God. Let's go there real quick. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now this is your victory. This is why I'm stubborn about faith. I'm a stubborn man when it comes to faith. My wife will tell you that. Just, I figured she'd amen that. But in verse 6, we were here last week. He says, verse 6, but without faith, it is, everybody say it together, impossible. He didn't say it's not likely. He didn't say it could happen. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must, woo! Man, this just got a hold of me again. He who comes to God must believe Him, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's why I've been telling you, my wife and I can tell you, and even my children can tell you, we've seen a visible difference in God's activity toward us. For the last 4 or 5 months, we've been praising Him 3 times a day. It's coming into our family like we've never seen before. And here's what He says. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe He is. That's the starting point. And also that He is a rewarder. And you've heard me use this term. It's an accounting term. It means payer of wages, right? And it doesn't just mean He gives monetary or material things, but it's He is willing to recompense, is another word to be used in that Greek word, to recompense back to us, right? That's why I said, if you care more about the things of others than you do your own stuff, God's back here recompensing that. Would you rather God be refilling your stock or you? Think about it just for a minute. So God says, if you come to me, you must believe that I'm the one, right? You are the one. Let's tell Him that. You are the one, God. We praise You this morning. You are the one. There's none other beside You. You are the only true and living God. Now I believe that. Now I believe that You've set up a system that if I obey You and follow You, and when I fall, I repent, get up, and keep moving, You've got a system set up that's going to keep continually bringing reward into my life, because that's who You are. That's how You work. He said, I've never seen anybody in this leave anything in this life for the kingdom of God and not receive 100-fold more now and the life to come. Somebody ought to give God praise for that. Now, he says, let's go to Romans chapter 10. What about this faith? I'm just giving you a real good shot in the arm this morning is what I'm trying to do. In Romans chapter 10, because I want you to get ready. What you're going through now, what I'm going through, the world, all the trouble you personally and as corporately, collectively, as a nation, as a world, this is all preparation. Because if you read Revelation and some of those prophets, what we're facing now can't hold a light to what's coming. Now, we know the Lord's going to come back for the true believer at some point, but that doesn't mean we're not going to have some birth pangs to go through, right? When the labor breaks forth and God, the Lord comes for us and bursts into the tribulation period, we'll be leaving here, but there's a lot of birth pangs a lot of times leading up to that time. And look at chapter 10. Did I tell you chapter 10? Romans chapter 10, I'm going to show you a verse in here, because this is, I could feed you enough if you come to church and you listen to podcasts and get going. But you Christians are going to have to be responsible to feed themselves some too. Here's why. Look at verse 10, verse 17. He says, but they have not, or verse 16 says, but they have not obeyed the gospel, which Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's about all I do anymore in my truck when I'm by myself is play God's word. I just play it all the time because I know my faith needs to keep climbing in the kind of world we're living in the kind of situations we're coming into as a world and as a country. Our faith's going to need to be as high as it can be. That's how you get more faith. You get it by hearing the word of God. And I would suggest to you, as a family, that you read the word out loud between a husband and a wife, or if you're doing it by yourself, sometimes I love to read, but sometimes you need to hear it. Put it in. Play it on your whatever you got, your 8-track player, whatever you got. Who's still got an 8-track player in here? Thank you, brother. I wish I had one. You got to have an 8-track player and you got to have a piece of cardboard, because when it starts dragging, you got to stick that cardboard underneath the 8-track, right? Or the Bee Gees just don't sound right if you don't do that. So he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing of what? The Word of God. That's how our faith will grow, right? So make sure you're feeding yourself. Tell your neighbor to feed yourself by the Word of God. Now, this is all promoting how we can grow in our faith, right? God set us in a moment in time like this, so He's designed the circumstances for us to grow. Now, what do we do to grow, right? Now, we study God's Word, and look at the next one. Let's go to Jude, back in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 20, in the book of Jude, only one chapter. So, verse 20, he says, here's what he says in Jude. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy what? Faith. Praying in what? The Holy Spirit. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Now, so prayer has something to do with building up your faith. The Holy Spirit has something to do with building up your faith. All these things are designed. The Word of God, right? That's number one. You can't do anything without the Word of God. Then you got to pray. You got to seek, right? You're talking about these things where our victory is our faith. And without it, it's impossible to please God. So faith is the answer. It's the key, right? Faith is the key. And I don't have to probably describe this, but for a worldwide audience, I will describe this. It's faith in Jesus, right? I don't have to tell you that necessarily, but you understand, it's faith in Jesus, right? And we've defined this word so many times. Pisteo is a verb, so it's activity in God's Word toward Jesus, right? The Bible teaches us that we're to move. Isaiah talks about moving toward the sayer. When the sayer speaks, we move toward the sayer, right? So the sayer is God. The sayer is Jesus Christ. Now, what changed? When I started having faith in Jesus Christ, here's what changed. The world, all the world, and no better place to define that with what's coming up on Tuesday. Tuesday, there are all kinds of people all over this country hoping this will happen, others hoping this will happen. Here's what happens when you and I put our faith in the real king, in the real president, in the one that sits on his throne continually. They don't have elections up there. He don't get overthrown up there. He's in charge of everything. This is what happens when Stickman takes his faith and puts it in Jesus Christ. This question mark for everything in his life is gone. You know why? Because in Christ, there is no question mark. In Him, everything is yes and amen, he said. He cannot lie. He cannot do any wrong. He's the God of the universe. He created everything. So what happened when you and I got saved? The question mark was X'd out, because my Jesus come out of that grave and He's alive. That's what happened when we got saved. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm running you around this morning, but I might not preach as long, because I feel like I'm getting a lot done without preaching. I told you, that's why I left my coat over in the office. I could feel it before I even got out of my office. Hebrews chapter 4, let me show you something here. Verse 1, this is good stuff. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, we need people at rest in the kingdom of God. We need people not running around like a chicken with their head cut off. That's an old saying where I'm from. I guess everybody's had that saying back in the day. We need people who are settled, living in shalom. He says, place of rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. He said, your fear should not be what's going on in the world. Your fear should be missing the rest of the Lord. That's what should bother us. Shouldn't bother us what's going on in the world. What should bother us is that we may miss resting with the Lord. What Jesus said is, how long did I desire to bring Jerusalem in under my wings and treat you like a hen does her chicks? Said He wept over Jerusalem. How long did He want to bring them in? The Lord wants to give you rest. Tell your neighbor, say, the Lord wants to give you rest. Come unto me, all you that are weary, heavy laden. I'll give you rest, He said. What happened to that woman that day? She came to the well She came to the well with her pitcher, going to draw water like always. But right beside that well sat living water. We call him Jesus. She left her water pot, the Bible says, because Jesus, like a masterful surgeon, opened her up and did surgery on her spiritually and sent her off free. She said, come, let me show you a man. She got so filled with living water, she left the pitcher at the well and didn't even get any natural water. See, that's what God's going to do in these last days. I'm going to prophesy to you right now. God's going to pour out His Spirit in those who really want to follow Him and know Him. And we're not going to care about the natural water anymore. It's the spiritual water that's going to keep us moving. It's His presence that makes a difference. And He said, look what He says here. He said, I don't want you to miss the rest. Don't get so distraught and caught up in other things that you miss the rest. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Do you understand this? Is it possible that some people can hear the word and it not work, and the guy sitting right beside them can hear it and it works? Yes, it is possible. That's why the parable of the sower is expressly drawn out in three of the gospels. Jesus makes a point to say, it depends on where the word's getting sown. It depends on where the seed's getting sown. Is it getting sown into faith, or is it getting sown into fear? Is it getting sown into worldliness, or is it getting sown into somebody who's set themselves apart for God? It matters where the seed gets sown. And look what he says. He says, the word got preached to them, but they heard it. It did not profit them because it was what? Not mixed with what? Faith. So it's very possible that you can have a segment of Christians getting their socks blown off by God while others are getting wore out by the devil because they're not mixing His word with faith. They listen more to the news than they do to God's word. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They listen more to what's said on the radio than they do what's on God's word. They listen more to people who are running afraid and not trusting in God than they do listen to God's word. That is not our lot. Our lot is to say, yeah, we see the giants like the other 10 guys, but we heard God say something, and we're hanging on to that. That's our lot. That's my lot. I'm going to tell you something. Everywhere I go by faith. I can't live my life in fear. I hate fear. I hate what it does to people. I hate what it does to nations. I hate what it does to me. I refuse to let it in. I hate it. So I go to Kroger. I go in faith. I don't go in Kroger worried all to death. I go in faith. I go in Walmart. I go in faith. When I visit somebody at the hospital or wherever, I go in faith. I'm going to live by faith. You got two choices. You can live by faith or fear. The only two places you can live. You can't stand in the middle. You get run over. We got to live by faith. That's what made all these guys, they come from all walks of life. They come, and even the doctor, Luke, was known for his faith because he saw that was the only way out of here. It's faith. I guarantee he'd helped a lot of people. But now that he'd come to faith, he could help them even further than this life. He could help them to the next life. Everything. We had people, sellers of purple, rich people, herdsmen, shepherds, you name it, carpenters. Boat builders. What made them stand out was their faith. That's what made them stand out. That's why I tell you before, the world can do some things better than we can mechanically. Do you know that? Well, I'm going to say something to you Kentuckians. Those people out there, they don't talk very well either. They make fun of Kentuckians. But you listen to some of these newscasters, they don't know if it's Iraq, Iraq, or what. They make up words. How many know what I'm talking about? They make up words on TV, just like me. But mine are better because they're about God. I could preach a whole sermon on that. Let's go to. I got one more spot I want you to go. Faith, not faithing. That's a word. That's a borrowed term, faithing, because we know it's a verb, right? Not faithing causes us to sin. See, they didn't mix the word with faith, and what did they do? They started sinning.
because they didn't mix it with faith. Now, that's the difference. People, you remember the parable of the sower? There are four places the seed gets sown. Three of them don't work. Only one of them worked. That may say something about the true church as we approach the end of time. Let's go to James chapter 1. I'm going to tie these guys here. The next book over from Hebrews. James chapter 1. This, you know, this is a place that I love. I've wrote papers on this back in the day. But it's one of my, I think it's one of the most powerful. When somebody gets born again, comes to Christ or comes into the kingdom, I tell them to read the book of James first thing. I want you to just spend some time getting that in you. But I want to read just a few verses. Verse 1, chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Get happy about it. That's what Ignatius was happy about, right? He was going to get to die on behalf of the Lord. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces, and we know what this word is, hupomene. Patience is part of the meaning, but it's not all the meaning. It means to be consistent, right? So knowing that the testing of your faith produces consistency. So that's what it's doing. I'm watching that happen. It's producing consistency. The testing of your faith, and all of our faith gets tested by all kinds of circumstances. But let consistency, stay in there, right? Stay in the game, have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Boy, that's a beautiful word, right? If you'll stay consistent, you won't lack anything. Woo-wee. If they knew what we had in here, they'd be busting the doors down to get it. But they're blind, right? They're blind. Jesus said they're blind. If they knew we had these kind of promises, he's not a man that he should lie. The question mark's gone. Everybody say the question mark's gone. Question mark's gone. I got me a new t-shirt. Don't y'all be stealing my ideas. I have a big question mark with the X on it saying the question mark's gone. In him. H-I-M, capitalized, right? Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, we need about the whole country to start doing that. Amen? I'm in there too. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. If you get, who gives, give liberally. Let it be to him. But let him ask in faith. Everybody say faith. You can't be asking because it's the religious thing to do. You got to ask it in faith, right? That's what we're talking about. Your faith is going to be the most important thing you and I possess in these last days. Because if you die, you're going straight to heaven. What's the big deal, right? So your faith is more important than anything in your life right now. Tell your neighbor, say your faith's more important than your 401k. Go ahead and tell them. Tell your neighbor. That your faith's more important than those taters you got stored underneath the house. I love saying taters because I like to make people mad. And then he says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. Everybody say no doubting. No doubting. And he says, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, it's going to get strong. Buckle your seatbelt, all you watching out in video. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. It's time to live by faith, folks. It's time to live by faith. That's who we're called to be. And he says, but we got the game. Can I tell you this? The game's rigged. It's been fixed in our favor. All we got to do is put our trust in him and follow him and obey him. He'll take care of us. He's got an appointed time for each one of us to come home. That can't change, right? He's going to call us whenever he's ready for us. He gets to choose how he takes us out of here, right? I know some people that have left with COVID that love the Lord, but it was their time to go. You don't think God said, oh, how'd they get up here? How'd they get sick? What the world? Get them out of here. Get them back down there. God knew their time. He knew when they was going to die. He could have took them out with the flu. He could have took them out with the lion's den. Huh? He could have took them out in a plane crash. He could have took them out however he wanted to. But to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. No matter how you get there from here, you're there. Hallelujah. So what we can live with the confidence of is that the devil can't take us out until God says, I'm ready for him. Robbins has about wore his tongue out anyhow. Let's get him up here. His vocal cords are shot. His knees are bothering. Let's get him on up here. And my wife's saying, no, yeah, get him. A conflict of interest there. And then he says, let him ask with no doubt, he who doubts like a sea, for let not that man suppose he will receive anything. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wow. I want to run for Jesus till it's time to go home. I'll give you two stories before I close. And remember what I shared a few months ago about Peter when he was walking on the water. When Jesus said to him, in the Greek it says, why did you double think? Remember me sharing that with you? When Jesus questioned him about, he was doing fine, right? He was on the water doing fine. Then all of a sudden he looks at his circumstances. That's us. Any of us. It's the 12 spies. It's you and I. It's Amram and Jochebed. How about them? The government said, turn your baby in. We're killing them. They said, not in this house. It ain't happening. Remember that word that said he was a proper child or a beautiful child? And that word means he belonged to another city. They knew Moses belonged to God and they wouldn't give him up. And then by faith, they took him down to the river where they'd been killing some of those babies, sticking it right in the devil's face and trusting God. And by the time that whole situation worked out, Moses' mother was nursing him like she'd always planned to do. And getting paid by the government to do it. Now, how many of you mothers would have liked that job? You know, nursing your own babies while they're little and go to the mailbox every week and there's a $500 check. Thanks for nursing your kids. Isn't that beautiful? See, I believe God can still do that kind of stuff today. In fact, we're seeing him do it. And that's why I want us to be faithers. I want us to be those people who say, hey, we'll fight you over our faith. We're not giving it up because we're sticking in there. And then he said to Peter, he said, why did you double think? And that's going to be our challenge. It's my challenge. I'm not throwing stuff out for you all to eat. I'm eating the same bowl of food you all are eating. I preach to myself a lot of times. But we got to be people of faith. And we got to keep this word flooding us to help our faith grow because God wants to use you and I. He wants to use us. We don't want to be that double thinker. We don't want to be that person that don't receive anything from the Lord. So I want to draw this conclusion for you before I quit. It is possible that two people can hear the same word and one can benefit from it and the other not. That's a possibility. Because if you're not going to mix it by faith, if you're going to be more in tune with what Fox News and CNN say than what God says, you're going to have a hard time. I'm not saying you can't hear what's going on. I'm just saying if that's what you put your trust in instead of this, you're going the wrong way. Don't let anything you see or hear interfere with what you believe right here. Don't you do it. We got just a little while to run. I believe we're turning that last corner on the track. We got just a little while to run. Let's run it with all we got, and let's love God back. At least try to love him back the way he's loved us. You guys can come to the instruments. So next time you see me come in without my jacket in the pulpit, you'll say, we're getting out early today. Let's stand to our feet. My job is to pour as much faith into you as I can. God's word. And to help you, and let's encourage one another. Let's encourage one another along the way. I know it's a different world. I know it's a tough time. I'm excited about it, though. I'm excited that God chose us, and I'm talking to everybody that ties into the Living Water or Basilea Ministry, wherever you're at. He's chose us in these last days to stand with him, to be faithful, to do his will, and to not trust in chariots and horses, but to trust in the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we don't have all the answers. The world certainly don't have all the answers, and we don't have all the answers, but we have you, and you have all the answers. Sometimes, Lord, we walk, and we don't know what to say or what to do. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that we don't have answers for, but we know you do. And we know we can bring people to you, and we can bring ourselves to you, Lord, because you do have all the answers. You are still the way, the truth, and the life. There's none beside you, Lord. And we love you here in this ministry, in Basilea and Living Water. We love you. And you've raised up so many solid believers through these ministries, Lord. Some are in other parts of the world now. Some are in other parts of this state. You've been a faithful God. And we want you to find us faithful, Lord. We want you to find us faithful as we finish the race here, as we get ready to cross this finish line, as you get ready to make an end of all things. We want you to find us faithful, Lord. And Lord, I pray on behalf of me and the people connected to these ministries in our nation, our families, this church, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for making life about us and not keeping it about you. Forgive us of our sins, our personal sins, those things that we just yield in that so easily beset us, like Paul said, forgive us and cleanse us. Forgive us for worrying and living in fear. Forgive us for that, Lord. Forgive us for allowing the world to push in on us and not resisting it the way we should. Forgive us for thinking evil, even if it's toward our enemies or somebody we view as our enemy. Forgive us for that, Lord. Increase the faith of all the people that are connected to this ministry, Lord. We have some that still can't be here because of situations, but let us all grow together. The ones that are watching and listening, let us all grow together. And as we grow and as we continue to assemble more and more together, help our faith to grow. We got a lost and dying world that's waiting on some people to live by faith. Let that be us, Lord. If you're here this morning, this altar's open. If you need to pray, if you're lost as they worship, come. Whatever your need is, you need anointed with oil and prayed over, you got a sickness, we've been watching God heal people's sicknesses. Whatever you need, come as we worship.